You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Yes, hello, welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from midday with Alex Dunn, John Babb and Andy Gibson in the studio. We have two jumps meetings, Lingfield and Sedgefield, accompanied by All Weather Racing on the Fibre Sand at Southwell. So three meetings to get stuck into. You'll hear full commentaries and results for that. Do tune in to William Hill Racing Radio right now. My name is Mark Walton. I'm joined in the studio by Craig Forsyth. How are you, Craig?
Yeah, very good. Thanks, Mark. Very good indeed.
Good, good man. Now we're going to start with the Monday jury on this edition of the podcast, and then we'll move on to Tuesday's racing. But before we get to all that, Craig, we come into the studio on the back of a race at Kempton where we've seen Brain Power make a very impressive chase debut. He's been given a quote of 10-1 for the Arkle and 8-1 to win any race at the Cheltenham Festival. On the back of that performance, were you suitably impressed?
Very much so. Very much so. Very impressed with, you know, he's certainly the way he jumped, Mark, in terms of how he got in close, how he stayed off some of his fences. And no matter, you know, how he got from A to B, he was always quick away from his fence at the other side and immediately back into his stride. And, you know, War Sound had ran very well behind another one of Nicky Henderson's up at Uttoxeter on his chasing debut behind River Wild. And you have to say that, you know, I know River Wild slightly disappointed at Cheltenham since, but the ground was very much against them. But Brain Power, you know, who was just a little bit short of absolutely, you know, top class champion hurdle type over hurdles, as you know, as Ken described them, has developed really well over the summer and has taken the chasing extremely well. And bearing in mind, Altior won the race at Kempton 12 months ago as well. So Nicky Henderson looks like he's got another strong contender for the Arkle and Brain Power.
Okay, let's move on to the Monday jury then. How do you rate Bristol DeMay's chances in the next two legs of the £1 million bonus? That's the first question. He is a 5-1 chance for the King George, and he is an 8-1 chance for the Cheltenham Gold Cup. Craig, what do you make of him?
First of all, you know, to touch on his performance from Luke End, exceptional. I mean, I think he ran to a mark, you have to say. Well, I don't think he can get his mark below 180, whichever way you look at it. You've got to compare the other chase races that was run on the same card. And, you know, look at the an average description for the ground, etc., for times. And the fact that, you know, a horse that, you know, won the last race over the same course and distance, Bristol DeMay was 10 seconds quicker than Chaser's Pod. You know, so, you know, he was exceptional what he did. You know, he's run to a mark, I think, personally, in the low 180s. But bearing in mind, his previous best form, Mark, prior to his win in the Betfair Chase, was the Peter Marsh at Haydock over a similar trip. So, you know, he's definitely produced his best in the mud at Haydock. So, you know, bearing in mind, you know, what's his chances for the next two legs? The next leg, of course, is the King George at Kempton on Boxing Day. Now, he's going 3 miles right-handed, and you're almost certain he's going to be racing on much quicker ground than certainly Haydock was at the weekend. So it's a totally different type of test. But his performance at Haydock, you know, was right up there with the top staying chasers that we have at the moment. But the big question is, can he reproduce that at Kempton? And I would have to say, doubtful, Mark. Okay. Doubtful. I think, you know, it's like a home game from Haydock soft ground. That is his ideal condition. I'm not saying he can't win away from Haydock, but he will need soft ground because he is a horse that, on quicker ground, other horses is able to keep up with him and then quicken away at the business end. On softer ground, he just maintains that gallop all the way and you know, horses struggle to go with him, as we've seen the likes of Q Card and T for Two at the weekend. So I think he's going to be up against it, you know, to answer the question.
Second question, what does the future hold for Min after he won his comeback in easy fashion?
Well, he was impressive, you know, hard to fault. You know, Andrew Thornton assures me the fences are really easy to jump. So, you know, I think we need to judge him more on his next two or three runs. Mark Burrett was a pleasing start. You cannot knock the horse. You know, very, very positive and definitely something to build on. But, you know, stiffer tests await for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Just reading the comment there from Kieran Gethings. Only horse that's beat him is Altior. That's not bad, is it?
It's not a bad record at all, but... You know, you have to say a lot of that will be down to his trainer as well and where he's been placed. If you look at the prices he's gone off for some of his races, he's gone off very, very short, hasn't he?
Yeah.
So he has been placed to good effect. And he hasn't, you know, raced in many graded events like the race he was beaten by Altior on many occasions. So that's why he's got, you know, such a fantastic runs to wins ratio.
Who else impressed you this weekend?
I think you, obviously, Sam Crowe's effort was exceptional again. His second start over hurdles. And someone on Twitter I follow, Will Hoffman, whose sectional analysis is absolutely phenomenal. If you don't follow Mark, it's definitely worth a follow. He's already got this horse achieving a higher level of form than the winners of the spring festivals of last season. So, you know, that is how much he's done in two starts already. So he was very, very impressive. And the other one has to be Sam Spinner, you know, in the what was the fixed brush hurdle, I think was it now the stairs hurdle or handicap hurdle. You know, there is a little bit of a bias in the winter at Haydock towards front runners on the hurdle track because turning into the straight, you know, you can quicken away and pinch a few lengths and it's hard to make up the ground. But he comes from a very strong race at Chepstow. The what was the old Silver Trophy, a race that the likes of Elgin finished down the field and Louis Vac Pouch, who came out and won at Aintree. So that form is very solid, and he's carried that, and he's improved stepping up and trip at Haydock. So I think there's more races to be won with Sam Spinner over 3 miles. That was his first attempt at that distance, and he improved dramatically. And, you know, he's on a serious upward curve. I think there's a lot more to come from him. So those would be the other two that really impressed me this weekend.
Windops, how important are they and should they be declared on race cards?
Obviously, this was the hot topic last week, wasn't it? I didn't have a huge opinion on them rather than better to have that information out there for, you know, the punter to decide how they want to use it. It's better being there than not being there is what I would say, but treat it with caution because there's only a certain percentage of windops that do work, but it's nice to have that information before a race rather than a trainer being interviewed after the race and said he's had a small wind procedure, he's improved dramatically for it after the race. I think that's what was getting punters' backs up.
Yeah.
Now that information's there, not every horse is going to come out and improve and win. You know, it's not a recipe for becoming a millionaire overnight because we now have wind operations published, Mark.
Yeah.
But I think it's a huge positive that the information's available.
Okay. Who'd you like the look of for the Ladbrokes Trophy? That's what used to be the Hennessy. Total Recall 9-2, American 11-2 in the betting, Single Farm Payment 13-2. It's an 8-1 Whisper. 12-1 Royal Vacation and Vita de Rock. 14's Coney Gree and Present Man. 16's A Genie in a Bottle and 20-1 are bigger prices for the remainder.
It's got to be American, Mark. You know, he looked a real good performer last year in his first season over fences. 3 starts, 3 wins. You know, all those victories came in soft ground. He's going to be running off a mark of 157 and he's set to carry 11 stone 4 at the moment. Harry Fry's team in really, really good form. You know, he's a horse that can really pile on the pressure from the front. You know, if he gets into a good rhythm early, the key to the horse is soft ground. He must have it soft. I think the forecast very much in his favour for the next 5 days or so leading into Saturday's race. I think personally he's going to be difficult to beat, and many people have had him as the winner of this race for a very long time. I think last year the most impressive he was a Saturday after Cheltenham at Utoxeter when he beat some really nice types, the likes of Rock the Casbar, and he had them strung out like Washamot. He had the race won from a long way out because simply in soft ground, a bit like Bristol to Mai, nothing can keep up with him, you know? Yeah. He's just relentless galloper under those conditions. And, you know, he's obviously running off a £9 higher mark, but seriously, a horse that is still improving, only 7. And I think he's the one that will take all the beating. I like him a lot.
Okay, 11-2. Craig likes him a lot. American for the big race at Newbury on Saturday. And final question of this week's Monday, Jory. What would you write in a card to Josephine Gordon after she got her century up on Saturday?
It'd have to be a huge congratulations, Mark. And, you know, hopefully she reaches her next century, you know, as quick as she did the first one, because she's, well, you run out of words for praise for Josephine Gordon. For me, I think what I really like about her is the fact that she's very brave in her races. You know, if she sees a gap, she isn't frightened to go and attack that gap and move a horse out, or, you know, she's certainly no one-trick pony. She's got a lot of different skills, and, you know, she's done exceptionally well. So, you know, hopefully her next 100 comes up, if not even quicker than her first 100. Many congratulations to a very talented jockey.
Yeah, I mean, we see a lot of jockeys struggle when they lose their claim. This is her first season after losing, riding out a claim. She's gone and got 100 winners. It's a great achievement.
And bearing in mind the connections that have used her as well, the likes of Godolphin.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that speaks volumes of her ability and how good she is.
Mm. So that's the Monday jury then. Anything else in your mind, Craig, before we move on?
Oh, we're quite busy with the Monday jury there, Mark. So, no, I've enjoyed the racing over the weekend. I've enjoyed the jump season so far to date. You know, working with Andy Holden today, just been speaking about it, how, you know, competitive and how the fields have stood up so well so far. The ground hasn't been too bad. Although, you know, as the winter develops, it will. And we will get smaller fields, there's no doubt about that. But right now, it's been a fantastic start to the National Hunt season. And, you know, we're at the Hennessy meeting before we know it. Looking forward to that next weekend already. And only 4 weeks away from the King George.
Yeah.
So it's frightening how quickly, you know, it goes in.
I know, yeah. We've got big racing every weekend as well, pretty much, haven't we? We've got Hennessy this weekend, then it's the
Tingle Creek,
Beecher
it?
Chase.
Oh, Beecher Chase entry, yeah.
Then the Tingle Creek, then we'll be on the King George before you know it. And
Christmas, Mark. What you got me for Christmas?
It's a secret.
Oh, right.
let's move on to Tuesday's action then. Craig has looked at a couple of races for us on the card at Sedgefield. He's picked out the 12:50 first of all, and this is a novice's hurdle over the extended 2 miles. And we've got a field of 12 set to go to post for this one. What made you pick this, Craig? What's got your eye in there?
I've gone for Mickey Hammond's Bulk Off here, Mark, a horse and a yard that have been slow to get going really this year as a whole. And, you know, being obviously to some of the northern races, meetings, seeing Mickey's horses, a lot of them have needed not only one run but two. He's left plenty to work on. So it's no surprise that the stable is now just kicking into gear.
Yeah.
They had another nice winner yesterday, was at Utoxeter, one that was travelling down south. And Balkov, you know, he was carrying a fair bit of condition, let's say, when he made his seasonal reappearance behind Beyond the Clouds at Kelso. A race that's worked out well. Some rain was second, a really nice type of Rose Dobbins. Beyond the Clouds has gone on and won again. He then went to Hexham and soft ground and finished second to Go-Go Lucas, who, you know, was a little bit of a shock that day, Go-Go Lucas winning for Simon West. But I thought Balkov ran really well. And again, shaped like, you know, that run will now put him spot on. No excuses on his third start. Last year, after he moved from France to the Mickey Hammond Yard, he started off in the Grade 1 hurdle at Aintree. And he wasn't disgraced in that behind Pingshu. You know, he's the handicapper thought him worthy of a mark of 139 not too long ago. I know he's now rated 122. But I think, you know, this is a winnable race. Mickey Hammond does extremely well with these runners at Sedgefield. And looking at the dangers, Big Time Dancer made his hurdling debut at Wetherby and did catch the eye running on, making some good late ground behind a really useful-looking type. But, you know, I'm still not sure about Big Time Dancer. I prefer to be with Balkov. Character Onesie, Donald McCain, another trainer to be feared at Sedgefield, ran respectively well at Bangor behind a very useful type. And if the cap fits on his hurdling debut, was decent on the flat for Richard Fahey. You know, he's one that could definitely improve on that Bangor run. But right now, I think, you know, of those three, Balkov could be the one to be with.
Mm. Balkov then for Craig. Interesting how Chucky Royal will get on there as well. He's a 9-year-old going over hurdles for the first time.
Well, he's
but he was rated 113 or so at his peak on the level. So
it's not like Keith Dalglish to throw a horse in at the deep end in terms of being out of its depth. But I would have major stamina doubts with Chucky Royal, bearing in mind this was a horse that was a little bit of a tearaway on the flat as well.
Yeah. Yep, I would agree with that. We'll see how he gets on. But Bulkov, the one that Craig likes the look of in that 12.50. And we move on next to the 2.20. This is a novice's limited handicap chase. 2 miles is the trip for this one, just the five of them. So to go to post, who comes up in front, Craig?
This is a good race, Mark, despite the numbers. You know, for me, this is the best race on the card and really looking forward to this. Derantoga Yank is a horse that won over hurdles at Bangor earlier in the season, then went back over fences at Carlisle, made all, beating Bo Bay on that occasion. Really good performance, and then ran into Nutswell, who's a in the north, a potentially, you know, very decent 2 mile novice chaser. So he lost nothing in defeat, Derantoga Yank, and he's going the right way, but he's going to face competition at the front here. Kraken finds another one that likes to race prominently. Now, he did win at Newcastle last time after being thrown in at the deep end on his chasing debut at Wetherby. I thought they would have started him off in a novice handicap chase to protect his mark of 1-2-2, but, you know, he was up against it and needed it badly at Wetherby. Now, he did win at Newcastle, but I was slightly disappointed with the way he won. I thought he would have run out a much easier winner against a horse that stays much, much further, finishing second. So the way I see this, Derantoga Yank and Kraken Fine might just take each other on a little bit too quick in this event. And the one I think they can set it up for is Robin the Prey, a nice type that moved to Malcolm Jefferson's yard last year. He made his chasing debut here at the track when finishing behind the very useful Beggar's Wishes, finishing second on that occasion. He's gone up £5 in the weights. Brian Hughes rides him again. You know, he's a horse that can be a little bit keen in his races, Mark. So the fact that we've got two solid front runners in here, you know, will hopefully help him settle. And if he does settle, I think he'll come home strongly and hopefully get the better of the two pacemakers.
Mm. Piece of form to keep an eye on as well. Look out for Voltfass. Look, see what he did on Monday, because he runs Monday afternoon.
Indeed.
If he wins, then it boosts that form, or if he runs well.
I've napped in that race, so I hope he gets beat, Mark.
But Voltfass to finish second and run a good
race. Yes, indeed.
good stuff. So Robin the Prey, the pick for Craig in that 2.20. Malcolm Jefferson won this race last year. We're waiting patiently as well. So it's a race.
He wasn't bad, was he?
He's not too bad, is he? it's a race he's targeted in the past. If Robin the Prey turns out anywhere near as good as waiting patiently, be a nice one. Good stuff, Craig. Out of the two, best bet of the two, which do you like most?
I like Robin the Prey the best of the two.
Good stuff. Thank you very much, Craig. Good luck and enjoy on Tuesday.
Thank you very much, Mark.
There you go. The thoughts of Craig Forsyth on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear us all live on Racing Radio from midday. Alex Dunn, John Babb and Andy Gibson in the studio for Lingfield, Sedgefield and Southwell. Do join them for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.